I'm Michael Lobo.
I'm Lobo.
Nope. How you doing, baby?
Good.
This is episode 187. Oh, shut the door.
That was awkward. I think we're talking about basketball right here.
No, I'm not talking about basketball.
Okay.
Oh, it's episode 187 of Just Because, the Human Experience Podcast. It is April 20th. Wink, wink. You know what that means?
I don't.
Okay. I was joined by my brother Jeremiah, and my friends Lydia and Dominic, his first episode. This was recorded July 22nd. Oh my gosh, I haven't posted a new episode. We sold a house. We bought a house. We were in a bunch of different places. Things were very stressful, right?
Yeah.
We survived. But now, I walk with a limp. No.
And now we're late to school.
We're late to school every day. It's been rough. But we're here. Maybe we'll do an update episode sometime, but enjoy this one. We go into superpowers, AI,
Baba,
Jonah Hill. Yes?
Can I say, like, I hope you like this video and like other stuff?
Well, it's a podcast, not a video, so you could say, I hope you like this podcast or this episode.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead.
I hope you like this episode. Goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, we're saying goodbye. Goodbye.
I saw a rabbit fly over my house once.
Wait, what?
Oh my
God. A rabbit.
You can't just say that sentence and not explain. Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay.
Hi, Dominic. Hi, Lydia.
Hello.
Jeremiah, prophetic. This is my brother Jeremiah, who's trapped inside of a giant grape. This is my friend Lydia. She's been on the podcast a few times. And then Dominic, this is your first episode. So it's like your audition episode. So we'll see how you do.
Oh, dear.
So be mean, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. How are y'all doing?
Good, good.
Good. No complaints. Staying cool.
I want all the complaints, Lydia. This is
what?
This is the space
you
for it.
You don't know what you're getting into with my family. So
wait a second. Hold on.
My father faked his own death on my birthday like 7 years ago. And that's not even like the worst thing that's happened in my life. So anyways, let's talk about you.
Well, hold on a sec. That was a bit intense. Wow.
And then he died for real last Thanksgiving. And I was kind of like 75% sure it was another fake death.
Uh-huh.
My sister said, yeah, he does that when he thinks people aren't paying attention to him. He fakes his death and he sends an email that Rene Quinones died on this day, da da da. You will get an email every year on the anniversary of his death until the year 2050. And yeah, so I was pretty sure it was fake, but it sounds like it's real, but I was not invited to the funeral, so I wouldn't know. I know that's like all there's so much drama in my life.
Yeah, that trumps any of my worst parts of my week. No,
my father had an uncle that was so drunk he fell asleep in the sewer face down in Mexico and drowned.
What the shit? So,
I know, and it was the funny part about it was I was singing the song one day when I was a little kid about a man stood by the sewer, and by the sewer he died. They took him to his funeral and called it suicide, and I could not figure out why my dad was laughing so hard. My mom said, oh, because he had an uncle that fell asleep drunk and died in the sewer.
Oh my.
That's pretty great. That's not
Yeah.
great. That's
I mean,
not great.
it's fascinating, I think.
People don't understand that sometimes when you go to other countries, the sewer is just an open trench next to the street. So they're not like, wait, you mean like where it is and the balloons come up? How does somebody die in there? No, it's just like an open ditch. You fall in and there's like night soil in there and water and festering stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Oh,
you inhale
goodness.
it and you're probably instantly dead.
What a great way
There's
to
a quick
start.
death.
The beer showed up. Thanks, Robbie.
Speaking of beer, no,
Off
I'm
the
joking.
story. Speak. This other
Speaking of
person
beer,
died.
oh no, I've got stories about beer. If you want stories about beer, in
Beer
China,
stories.
because they recycle their bottles.
It
Sometimes you'll
is.
find like a mouse in the bottle, or like a band-aid in the
Oh,
bottle. Yeah,
Dominic. Lydia, I don't know you. Very nice to
Hello.
meet you.
It's my wife, Serena.
So yeah, always look like if you ever get beer from China, you always have to like look in the glass and like swish it around, and make sure there's nothing in there because they recycle the bottles, but sometimes they don't rinse them very good. At the university I used to work at, the beer plant was down the street. So yeah, we hear stories.
What the shit is happening? That's a good tip, though.
Yeah, you have to check everything that you eat when it comes from China because just because it says, like the label says, like this is what's in it, does not mean that's what's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let me put this beer down then, so I can examine it fully later. We usually start with the best and worst parts of our week and then a song recommendation. Jeremiah, you want to start us off now that you finally got my text? Jeez, our phones hate each other.
Technology.
We can't hear you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, no.
Can he pantomime? And
You
then
get,
somebody can
yeah,
translate for
just
him?
draw all the, dr get a paper and a pen and just
You got
draw
a
it all out.
whiteboard, so dry erase.
All right, we'll skip you then. We'll
Jeez,
go
no.
to
Somebody can read it and sound like really robotic, like that
just very
monotone robot.
monotone. Yeah. I
Like
had
the
a
dial up,
great
like
time.
your call has been
Thank you
Yeah.
for inviting me.
Just jump off and jump back on. Okay. Dominic, what was the best and worst part of your week?
Best part is, well, I had my birthday yesterday and it was a
Yes.
lot of
Happy
fun.
birthday.
Thank you. I went to, well, in the morning, went to, well, me and Jesse, my boyfriend, we were supposed to go to breakfast and we didn't end up getting out of bed until like 11 o'clock because we both took, he had the day off, I took the day off. And it was like, okay, we're not doing breakfast, we're doing lunch instead. So we did lunch with some friends. And then we drove to Mesa to have dinner with my family. So that was really fun. And then we went out last night and thank God I remember everything. I'm very happy talking about alcohol. I'm very happy that I remember everything, but I guess I blacked out at the end of the night right before bed. Because you want to hear a funny story? So I guess, and this is, it's so embarrassing, but you know what? Fuck it, whatever. It's funny. I guess last night at like 4 in the morning, I woke up and I guess I needed to use a bathroom. I don't remember this. I needed to use a bathroom and I guess I just stood up out of bed. I just started going right there.
Oh shit. Just right next to the
Okay,
bed.
can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can
Yes.
hear you.
Oh, we
Yeah.
can hear you.
Yay. There you
All
go.
right.
Okay. Yeah, so Jesse, I guess, woke up because he thought it was our dog. He'll usually scratch at the door when he needs to go outside. And he wakes up and he looks at me. He's like, "What are you doing?" I guess I just said, "I just gotta go."
Peeing right next to the bed. Okay. Well,
Yeah, that's the worst part, I would say.
yeah. The best, and then it turned into the I because last night was your birthday, I half expected a text this morning saying, "Hey, I can't do it. I went too hard last night, so I'm so
Oh,
sorry." And I would
that's why I'm
have.
drinking water right now. I am a
Cool.
little hungover.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here.
Of course.
Yeah. And Lydia, what was the best, worst part of your week?
I mean, every day is great when you're not living in a communist country. So I'm just gonna say everything was great. There was nothing
Cool.
bad. That's about it.
Cool. Jeremiah, here we go. Round two.
Right, finally. Okay. The best part of my week, hung out with Monet Michelle. That was a highlight. It was nice. Worst part, going outside. Honestly, it's hot.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
What happened outside your door?
No, it's the heat. It's like you go outside and it's like hot, and then you get into your car and it's like, and it feels like it takes forever just to cool because it's so hot. And it's just like,
okay.
Dang. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Can we ask how old you turned?
29.
Bitch, wow. Okay, let's kick you off of here.
You're a youngin'.
Wait, why?
How do I kick you off?
You're a youngin'.
This is an over 30 podcast. Let me get you out of here.
Oh.
We'll make an exception this time. Best part, my son started kindergarten on Wednesday. And it was hard because he's been in my class for the past year. He's also been at my school since Serena said he was 8 weeks old. So he's been around me, and he's also my roommate. So, you know, he's just been around. And so that was cool to see. He is just like a big kid. Like, he's going to this school and we watch him walk off and we can't walk him in. We got to the first day, but and to see him with a giant backpack that's bigger than his body, walking next to like fourth graders, fifth graders. I'm like, oh shit. And it was cool. We were very proud of him. I expected, you know, a lot of crying, and it was only really crying the first day. But Thursday, Friday, he enjoyed it. We asked him, you know, okay, what was one word you would use to describe kindergarten? He said school bus. I said, well, that's two words. So, and you don't take a school bus. So what? I'm like, you're dumb. You're dumb. We have a dumb. No. I'm like, he's going to be on the slower side. It's like school bus. I go, oh no.
That is my type of one word. School bus.
School bus. I'm like, come back to pre-K. We'll do this. A little more work for you. No, but we're really proud of him. Worst part, also, it was the first few days of my new preschool kids who moved up to pre-K. I'm a pre-K teacher. And so, of course, they acted like they just showed up on this earth. And it's just like yelling, running in the room. How do we play with Legos? Just chuck them as hard as you can across the room. What? You've never seen like they have the same stuff in their preschool room. So it's not like they were just brand new. They've never lined up before, because in preschool, everything is a lot more lax. So, yes, that is the frustration I get every July and August when I get the new kids. It's like, oh, my God. Shoes are missing. Shoes are missing. Shoes, socks. Kids are wearing other kids' shoes. Like, what? Yes.
How many kids do you have in your class?
At the moment, 20, because we have three kids who haven't started kindergarten yet. So they're just with us. So they're probably just bored out of their minds. And then another kid whose school hasn't started either. So 20. So we'll be down to 16 at the end of August. Yes. So it's just that as the worst part. What song have y'all been feeling? It doesn't have to be necessarily a new song. It could just be a song at this point in your life you are enjoying that is hitting you in the soul.
For me, it's every night we listen to Wolf Like Me, because that's the only way to get my son to sleep. He needs like a song with like a good beat, and I just bounce him on my knee until he either falls asleep or becomes bored with the whole scenario and just shuts his eyes to get rid of me.
How many months? Or
he was born in January, but he was 3 months early. So he's he's kind of in between sizes. He's not quite as big as he should be at his birth date, but he's not as small as he should be.
Got it.
Wolf Creamy. Like
Yeah. Wolf Like Me. Cool.
It's a good one. Has nothing to do with the TV show Wolf Like Me.
Oh.
Very disappointing.
Oh, no. Dominic, what song is hitting you in the soul?
I would say the one that I've been kind of going back to recently, I don't know if you guys like country, but Kane Brown, it's called Ooh. What If, What Ifs. Okay. And it's a good song. I go and change your name. What if
I left all these what ifs away? I love that song.
Oh, okay, cool. So I have someone to back me up. It's a great song. And Jesse introduced Kane Brown to me. So I wasn't really into country, but now I'm like, I'm slowly getting into it.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
What Ifs? Okay. I'm going to find that too. I know a couple of Kane Brown songs. So I'll find that one too. Jeremiah.
So I'm always like on a fence when people not redo songs, like take beats from like old songs. Because I'm like, but the song is called Taboo. It's by Seven Streeter. And I love it. I can't remember what old song it's originally from, but the beat is like, it's so familiar. So it's like a nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way it was done. And I thought it was like perfect. You know, it wasn't over the top. It was just something simple. That's been stuck okay. in my head.
What is the taboo of the song?
What's the taboo of the song?
Yeah.
You got to listen to it.
Oh, man. Okay. Fine. Okay. Mine is, and this, I just picked it this morning because I was bouncing between a few songs. And I try to recommend a variety of songs when I do these episodes. The song is called, which is weird, Princess Diana by Ice Spice and Nicki Minaj. And it's really great. The title threw me off because I was like, wait, what? Is this a diss track to Princess Diana? And so it's not. I don't believe so. But I had it on and I'm trying to decide between songs. So I'm playing a bunch of different songs this morning and our son starts like dancing in the kitchen to it. And he's on beat, which I'm so happy. I'm like, okay, you'll just be musical. You won't be good academically. But or maybe it'll translate because people
know school bus about dancing.
Yeah, he knows school bus and dancing. So yes, Ice Spice, Nicki Minaj, Princess Diana. It's just a fun song. I could definitely see it if I was 50 years younger going to Mill Ave or somewhere and that song came on. I would definitely dance to it. I'm 89 years old. Okay, so
you look amazing.
It's the Filipino-ness, I think. My Filipino wow. genes kick in a lot. I have questions, but I was wondering if you all had a question or a topic you wanted to throw to the group. Totally okay if you don't, especially Jeremiah, since you apparently don't get my texts.
I know.
It could be a question about anything. There's no boundaries, I believe. I guess we'll find out in a second. But Lydia, do you have?
I do have a topic. Like yeah. this morning, my mom was talking about the writer's strike and how we're not going to have any good shows. And I said, oh, let's just get AI to write the scripts. Like ChatGPT can write all the scripts.
Uh-huh.
And I think AI is a good topic in the arts because AI can write scripts. It can write songs. There's a topic for you, Jeremiah, taken from old songs. It can create images. I even watched like a movie a couple of days ago or a week ago, done, and the whole background was done with AI. And whoa. Yeah, so it's like, what reason is there for the human element? But yeah, I thought that was an interesting topic. And then the whole question of, well, who really owns it? Like if I type in the prompts, like, this was a few weeks ago, I typed in shrimp and teeth because I'm trying to think of like, what are two things that like creep me out? So I typed in shrimp and teeth and the AI app on my phone gave me like somebody's mouth and the lips were kind of merged with the teeth, but it looked like sideways shrimp. It was freaky. Saved it on my phone. But anyway, so do I own that? Could I like go on to like Society6 or Redbubble and sell it? No, I can't because... Yeah, it's kind of in that weird domain of who owns it. Like, even though you buy the app, you don't actually own the copyright. You own, I'm trying to think of how it goes. You only own the element that you put your own detail in. So if I put lipstick on the mouth with the shrimp teeth, then that lipstick part is my element that I own. But I don't own the rest of it. But the AI can't own it because the trademark laws or the copyright laws are, it has to be made by human element. So then we have to get into the whole realm of, so can we count AI as a person, or we get in the gray area of what is a person? If we're asking ourselves, what is a woman? Then we should say, well, what is a person? Therefore, mm-hmm. could AI be a person? Or if AI can identify as a woman, could AI be a woman? And then AI owns everything it creates, including Jeremiah's songs.
Oh,
that's what I was thinking.
You didn't give us a softball on this one. Let me chug this coffee. All right.
I think about things at night.
Yeah. I remember, I think you were supposed to be on an episode a few months ago.
Yeah.
And you brought that up, but then it turned into, I think it was a just fantasy draft.
Totally bombed. I know nothing about pop culture.
So this is interesting. The writer's strike, AI, what do I think of it? I think I'm against it as far as, I think there can be space for it. I think there can be space for
AI writing the script, or
no. So I think there could be space for like having AI write scripts, and then you could, when you promote it, say this is a AI written show. Check it out. We have so much content from reality TV shows to documentaries to sci-fi. Like there could be room for human made stuff as well as AI made stuff. I mean, as separately as far as like just the writer's strike, I do think they need to be paid more, or paid fairly, which I guess would be more. But I think I did hear that, like, oh, just have the AI do it. So then all these writers who've given their life to learning and crafting writing, that's kind of shitty for them. And then I think it was leaked that they wanted to use AI to scan like the background actors. So then the studios mm-hmm. would own their likeness and then just use that in a different movie and then use that in a different movie. So actors would only get paid for the first thing they did, but then not get paid for the Jeremiah walking. I don't know why we keep picking
Mirror
Jeremiah.
Black Mirror did an episode of that. Do you watch Black Mirror?
I love Black Mirror. I haven't seen the newest show.
The latest season covers that, where actors sell their likeness and the companies can do whatever they want and make the actors doing things that are out of character.
Oh, wow.
Because they own their likeness. I've seen it too.
That is what. So, yeah. So I think I'm definitely against that as an actor myself. I guess I just wouldn't choose to sell my likeness, right? I guess it would be just choice. Like if we have shows made by AI, you can choose to watch it and support it. If you're really against it, I guess just don't watch it. But for me as an actor, I wouldn't sign that for me. Yeah, I think that's where I am right now. I tag in Dominic or Jeremiah or Lucas.
I feel like you're only really buying your name, because we could get someone who looks similar to you,
mm-hmm.
But is not you, and scan mm-hmm. their face and pay them for like much less than we pay you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think what we're really buying is the name, the brand that comes with it.
Yeah. I feel like with everything new, there's always a fear of like what it's going to do to what's already there. And I think a lot of times what happens is it goes through this cycle or process of it does put people into, I guess, positions or situations where now they're struggling to live or whatever. And I think what happens is then you find the good in a lot of people, where now they start to fight. And so then laws start to get passed. And I think that's where it's going to come to, in a sense of like, it's going to be like this big thing, but then it's going to show how only one person is benefiting. And so laws are going to be passed in the sense of like, well, this is not okay. Because it's the same thing with the whole monopoly situation, you know, where one company tries to take over all the stuff. According to the law, that is not, you know, you can't do that. It is interesting with AI, because some people, to me, there's levels of AI. I had some people say, they were very afraid of it because of, how iRobot and all stuff like that. and one of the things I say is, AI is not just a robot. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, AI is already here. AI is on our phones. AI is on mm-hmm. anything that we do. A computer mm-hmm. is considered an AI because it learns, because the way it's built and the way it learns from behaviors and things like that. It's just with anything we have or we create, we always try to go further beyond, you know, same with the phones. When you think about the phones, how, if we look at how the phones were back in the day compared to now, it's expand, you know, it's always a fear. And I think sometimes it's like you said, you need, there needs to be a balance, and someone's going to always take it and make it, how do I put it, bad. Mm-hmm. That's always the case. And so I think that's where we'll probably get into that cycle of like processing what should be okay and what shouldn't be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to relate it to, so we used to have like the old school photography where you're in the dark room and you're exposed to the chemicals. And then we got Photoshop and digital cameras, and it did away with the, like the old school photography, unless you're like some hipster and you want to go out there and like scrounge for a roll of film or something like that. And so I try to think of, okay, so yeah, people were displaced. There were photographers who were displaced and businesses that had to adapt. And so what does that mean for with AI in this realm? And it's like, I don't know, but the difference is that AI is taking samples from artists that already exist.
Mm.
Like AI doesn't just come up with something on its own.
Yeah.
It takes photographs that are copyrighted and it takes that watermark off, and then it appropriates it with a bunch of other pictures that are also copyrighted and comes out with something new. And the whole something bad, I think that's my biggest concern, is you are stealing from other artists in order to appropriate, I don't know, something for your own gain. But yeah, it's a whole can of worms.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dominic. I do think, I mean, with this whole writer's strike and everything, I use AI in terms of like, because I play Dungeons and Dragons. It's a huge fantasy game, and I use it sometimes mm-hmm. to give me like ideas, because I run the game for my players. So sometimes I do need to have that little bit of extra like inspiration or something to help me out. But I think what needs to really happen is like, I think AI is okay now. I didn't know that, like, I'm not like, I don't have a lot of knowledge on AI, but I mean, learning that it does take from other photos and everything, like steals from other people's work to create something new, that is a little bit off-putting to me, I won't lie. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's necessarily like a bad thing to have. Obviously, we are getting into a new age of technology. Things are expanding. But I do think that there should always be, it's okay to have AI, but I do think there always needs to be some sort of human overwatch of it. So like it's just people aren't losing their jobs. So then people are always like, just keeping an eye out on it. I don't know. I just feel like mm-hmm. There should always be humans watching over AI, and AI should not be taking over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
I agree. And I guess the point of like how AI takes a lot of different stuff and uses it to create something, that is what we do as humans on a daily basis. The only difference is we give credit to it. We have to give credit to it. So for example, if I'm to put on a dance piece or any kind of production, you have a portfolio of so many different stuff that has already happened, showing why you've chosen this, whatever you're trying to present, whether it's costume, whether it's the type of dance, whether whatever. And I think when it comes to AI, I think it's difficult. And I'm with you, Lydia. It's kind of difficult to establish where it actually comes from, unless it's set where you see what they take out. Because if you can see what they're taking out, then you can give credit, you know, to those that they're taking out, which I think should be the case. But if it's just taking out random stuff that you don't, no one knows, then it does become stealing in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So caveat onto that, what if you give credit, but your final piece people feel is not within the artist's original intentions? Like, I think there was a Kurt Cobain song that I read about that came out. It was totally made by AI, and people were like, that's not his style. That's not what he would have wanted. So yeah, the whole giving the credit, what happens if you give credit, but it's almost an insult to the original artist.
I guess if you're trying to use AI to replicate an artist, that right there, I feel like it shouldn't be done. But if you're taking pieces of things to create something different and saying that this is what I created based off of what was taken, it's a little bit more accepting in a sense of, because this is not something that the audience should see as someone that they would know that this is what it is. But I mean, I am with you. If you're trying to replicate something, that is the scary part, because like you said, it's not going to come across a lot of times as the actual person.
Yeah, that's really true. That reminded me of, I heard a song, it was AI generated as Eminem rapping about cats.
Oh yeah.
What? It sounded cool. It did sound like him. But yeah, you do run into that whole, this is not what they stood for thing. And I think if I'm catching what Jeremiah is, you know, saying is, you could, I don't, that's tricky. Like you say it's inspired, or just say like, this is a grunge sounding band. Like don't actually put Kurt Cobain, like don't actually put the thing, because now it has that emotional weight to the audience of like, wait a second.
Don't mislead
versus
them.
If, yeah. Yeah. Versus if you just said, oh, that, yeah, that's a lot. And the other thing that popped in my head, I think Jeremiah, you brought it up. You know, we do that as humans. When Jeremiah and I are in a fraternity, and when we would make strolls, which is like a dance, multicultural Greeks would do. We studied. Yeah. Oh, Dominic. Yes. You stole
I was like, oh my God, back in the day.
I think we just do that as artists. We take things that inspire us, and we sort of mold it, and we remix it. We kind of form it to fit us. Hopefully. I mean, there are those that just like plain steal and copy the thing, but, you know, I think we're okay with it, because we're taking, it's humans taking inspiration from humans. I definitely think there's a disconnect, though, of like, this machine is taking from humans. Like, it's different if I'm like, oh, I'm inspired by this choreographer, this dance piece, and this music video. But if I'm saying a computer did this and then made up a whole dance routine to it, I think as humans, we would get defensive, because we're like, that's not a human. But then I think, Lydia, you brought up of like, what do we define as human later? I'm sure that conversation will come up later on as these things get more advanced. There's that disconnect of being human.
I just had an epiphany. Here Forget about the whole art thing, like taking Eminem's voice. We could just take like presidential candidates that we don't like and have them giving speeches about terrible things and put it out there, because it doesn't happen unless somebody witnesses it. So we just got to get somebody witnessing the speech. But yeah, we could totally, like, what do they call it? Deep fake?
Deep fakes. Yeah.
Yeah. Your memory is no longer reality. It's a whole Orwellian society. Thank you, AI.
Yeah. Now I'm scared and hyped up on caffeine, yeah, which I don't think.
Everything you see on the internet, unless you see it in reality with your own two eyeballs.
That's
gotta
true.
Have someone ethical watching over all this stuff so that doesn't happen.
All right. Dominic's volunteer. Yeah. Dominic is, we're offering you up as tribute. Yeah.
I don't know much
Dominic
about
Dominic really
stuff.
Exists, because unless I see him here in the room personally,
oh, that's
he
true.
Could be AI.
I could have just had an AI.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would be wild.
Oh, catfish. That is like the next level of catfishing. Like, you're giving money to somebody who's got like this AI, like hottie.
Uh-huh.
Just like luring in men to send her money.
Oh no. It's called OnlyFans.
Yeah, because the biggest complaint on catfish is that people won't show their face on the camera.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's all solved with AI.
Yeah. Damn it. I don't like it.
Hide your money, guys.
Only
don't send no money anywhere.
An ugly girl is the moral of the story.
Ugly girl or guy, yeah.
Yeah. If you're too good looking, it's gotta be a catfish.
It's fake. It's definitely fake.
Right.
Dominic, Jeremiah, did you have a topic or a question you wanted to post to the group? Totally okay. If not.
So there is a question that I always just ask people just for fun. It's definitely a shift change from AI. But if you guys could have any magical, like if you could have one superpower, you can't be the Avatar. You can't, so no controlling all four elements at one time.
Okay.
One superpower, what would it be and why? And what would be the first thing that you do with it?
I would cast empathy. Bam. Okay. Problem solved.
Nice. That would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe all. Well,
even if you're being selfish, like you're like, no, I want this. You would empathize with those around you who don't have something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everyone would empathize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Now,
I like it.
You can only cast empathy. Could you cast like anger? Like, could you cast other feelings?
I wouldn't want to cast anger because I empathize with everyone. So there's no need to cast anger.
That might be fun to watch. Okay.
Throw some logic into that pot. It's like a utopia. There's no need for anger or whatever. Timeouts and jail and whatnot.
Yeah.
We just empathize with each other.
Yeah. I first thought of controlling time, but I don't know if I really want to do that.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm sure I would misuse it. I'm sure I would reverse time to undo a mistake, but then you go into the whole like, who are we? Who are we if we don't learn from our mistakes? Like, then you get into that whole, okay, fine. Well, if I've never made a mistake,
that could really mess with your head.
Yeah. So I think teleporting. I don't have to drive to work. I could just bloop, bloop. I can go there. Nice. If I have a weekend where I don't have anything planned, we can bloop bloop to Hawaii real quick. I think that would cut down on the carbon footprint of my traveling. Not that I do a lot. And I could also teleport. Like if I'm holding hands with somebody, they would teleport with me. Like I could teleport with people. I think that would kind of be sad to teleport by
myself.
With
their clothing. Or
yes.
Your body.
Body, okay. Yes, clothing. Oh my God.
It's up to the user. Naked. Whatever he's feeling in the moment. Whatever he wants in the moment.
If I'm holding Jeremiah's hand and we go somewhere and he's naked, but I'm not. We came to Berlin. Where are your clothes?
No. Hopefully the weather was good that day.
I know, well, yeah. Going to the Himalayas.
I was planning on buying clothes here.
You said we were going to Paris. Where? Yeah. So I feel like
where
teleporting.
Fashion is known.
Right. Yeah. Fashion. Nice. Right.
Fashion in Paris. I came with no clothes. I'm ready to be canvas for your clothing.
Yes.
Ready.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Superpower. Wow. What would I choose? Oh, I think it would be if I could read minds.
Bitch, you're going to want it.
There's some nasty people out there.
That's a tough one.
That it is.
Been
it
in
is.
Jail?
I think.
I was for a night. There's some nasty people out there.
Yeah.
I feel like if I had the ability to read minds and control what minds I read and, I think the generalization of like you just read it, all the minds are coming to you in one. That just sounds horrible. But to be able to control and to listen into different minds is nice because then I have the I don't want to say upper hand, but then I can steer certain situations into more positive ways, I guess.
And you could communicate with babies.
I
oh my
could.
God.
I'll be the baby whisperer for sure.
You would just walk into the room and someone say, "Please take my crying baby," and you would just read their mind and then calm them down.
It doesn't
would
like the onesie.
Take me out of these clothes.
Take it off,
Michael. Teleport me. I take them off. Now, would you be able to read animals' minds?
Oh, that would be yes. Every mind.
Could you still
as
eat
horrible
meat?
As,
are you
as
vegan?
It would be, who me?
Yeah.
Oh no, no,
are you
no!
Vegan?
I'm not.
But you would eat meat after reading the mind of the animal, provided that delicious meal.
Sad.
I mean, it is the circle of life.
Look him in the face and then eat.
No,
him.
It's not the circle of life.
Just be like,
I'm gonna send you some documentaries to watch. Yeah,
gonna turn off your thoughts. Have a good rest of your last few minutes alive.
That is the tell of a true psychopath, someone who can eat you after having a conversation with you, looking you dead in the eye, getting to know your family.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, you like chasing butterflies? Okay, get in that machine. I'm gonna eat you later. That's great. You love rolling in the hay? All right, go over.
I saw you jumping through the fields with joy.
Yeah.
Get in the kitchen. So I can't touch
you must up. Be delicious.
Oh, how sad.
How sad. Yeah. But, Dominic, do you? I'm guessing you might have one if this is in your back pocket to throw at people.
I always go between time as well, but I wouldn't have the ability to go back in time. And I wouldn't be able to go like forward in time. It would just be like if I needed to stop time in that one moment.
Okay.
When I came up with this question, like all those years ago, when I just started randomly asking people it was more like I would use it so then I could stop time so I can sleep longer. I would stop time so I could do my homework and then not be late. Like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Everyone else stops, but I keep doing whatever I need to do. I wouldn't go back in time because obviously, like you said, we learn from our mistakes. That's what we're how we get to who we are. But I wouldn't go forward because I've already have a lot of anxiety. So for me to try and go forward in the future, just to be like, oh, what's going to happen? Where am I going to end up? That's too much anxiety for me because then I'm not living in the moment. I'm living trying to figure out what's going to happen to me in the future. Mm-hmm. But overall, my main power would be like Katara from Avatar: The Last Airbender. I'd be a waterbender.
Cool. Well, I love here's water. Some anxiety for you.
Oh,
while
no.
you stop time, you are continuing to age. So all those little naps you take, you're going to start getting older and older. Yeah, you think people won't notice? Like, man, you look
rough. Oh, I wouldn't go for ye. I wouldn't do it for like that long. It would just be like, I just need a couple more hours of sleep.
Yeah, a couple more hours here and there. 364 days in a year. And
It's going to add up eventually.
Time is out the window. Time is out the window.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Jeremiah, now it looks weird if you don't have a question. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay if you don't.
Let me think of one.
Well, as you're thinking, I do actually have a story talking about like the animals and like killing them as you see them. So a long time ago, I never talked to this animal, but a long time ago, I have a lot of family in Colorado and they have a farm. Oh. They bought a pig and they were going to make fresh pork, like a fresh ground pork. And so I remember seeing as a little kid the truck with this pig, and they bring it to the farm, and I look at the pig, and then they shoot it in the head. They have to kill it, but it was so traumatizing because I was like, we just saw this pig alive, and now we're eating it the next day. Yeah. It was actually very sad, but it was delicious.
Yeah, I watched a couple documentaries.
Okay, I got one when you got ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Devin, help me out because I was like, hey, what have we been talking about recently for like a topic? Mental health.
Mm-hmm. Overrated.
Been having a conversation.
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
No.
That is the topic, and the reason why we brought it up is because I think I saw something, and I brought it up to him about. It was about. Jonah Hill and his ex-girlfriend.
I just read about
this issue with that. Yeah, and I told Devin, I was like, we are in this culture where everyone has mental health issues and everyone uses it in a certain way where it gets overused. And then and I think one of the articles was, and I'm not saying that it's true in his case, but one of the articles was he used his therapy because Devin's a therapist. And he used his therapy as a way to misinterpret. How do I want to put it? Like he was using the words that like boundaries, I guess. Mm-hmm. He was using boundaries and he was using it in a way of like they were saying he was using it for his benefit to be able to do the things that he wants. And I thought about that and I was just like, and it's so out there now, the way, you know. People, because I said before, we never went to therapy, right? It was an issue going to therapy. Like, you don't go to therapy, especially being of color. And now everyone goes to therapy. And everyone takes therapy differently. And sometimes, because I know people who would, the way the therapist will say things to them, so then they take it. And instead of helping themselves, they use it as, I'm right, and this is how I can justify me being right,
mm-hmm.
in a way, if yeah. that makes sense. And so it becomes like, it's interesting, because I guess my question is, what do we do? How do we control this now that we're all are, you know, going to therapy, or we have, you know, these issues? What do we actually do about it now?
Dominic, Lydia, do you know?
Is that what we're talking about? Gaslighting?
I was going to say, I don't know what happened with Jonah Hill. What's the situation with that?
I don't know. Can you give us some?
So his ex-girlfriend posted a bunch of text message about him saying that he doesn't want his girlfriend to be like a model. He doesn't want all these things. Don't want her in a bikini on Instagram. It was things like that. Go ahead.
She's a surfer. She's a professional surfer.
Oh, okay.
Surfer.
Yes. And so,
hanging out with men.
Oh, he knew that.
Surfing with men. Yeah, hanging out with men. He knew. Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew what he was getting
and
into.
And so he said, to be with me, you know, these are my boundaries. I'm setting my boundaries.
Yeah.
So he used the word boundaries because that is what he learned in therapy. You know, I'm setting my boundaries. These are my boundaries.
Do we know he went and he goes to therapy?
I think so. I think from the, because he's always suffered from, what was it? Anxiety.
I think it's
he had anxiety issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I think he was going to therapy. And one of the things he was saying is like, setting my boundaries.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing when I read the article about a therapist saying sometimes what happens is the client takes those words that we give them and they use it for their benefit in a sense of this is what makes me right for
I think we read the same article
or doing this.
I read this article like 2 days ago about a therapist interpreting like the situation. And so the ex whose name escapes me. Yeah, she's sending screenshots of like, you can't wear this. Please take down this picture off your Instagram. You're triggering things, and I don't like your relationships with men. You knew these were my boundaries, and she's
being a model is lower than low.
Yeah, and he's like, don't be a model. Like, yeah,
wow.
My question is,
Mr. Hill, where was this boundary when you first started dating, or before you started dating?
Yeah.
A certain person at the beginning of the relationship. If you chose to change, that's on you. That's something within you. You cannot impose, as Moby would say, you cannot impose your will upon another person. Mm-hmm. So that's on him. He's got, I need to cast empathy.
Yeah, cast it.
I have none for this man.
I'm going to Hawaii. Hold on. And so, I think at least the one I read, it's when mainly abusers use, they called it therapy talk, when they use a lot of therapy lingo to try to control someone else. And so when that's you say, like, these are my boundaries, the other person might feel bad if they're like, oh, well, I don't want to fuck up their boundaries. So now you've put almost the power or the blame on them. But luckily,
instead of yourself.
Yeah. And luckily, this person, the ex, she was like, fuck that. No, I'm a surfer. Like, you knew I was a surfer when we met. Like, what are you doing? And so she did, like, for a while, she would take down pictures if he was like, I feel insecure about you. And she would even say, I surf. Like, what do you want me to wear on the beach? But then eventually she was just done. What do we do about that? Fuck.
And it's easy to get caught into that trap where you feel bad, but you have to tell yourself, I feel bad because I'm a good person. Now I need to make the choice not to let this person walk on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people who are toxic like that, they're really counting on you to feel bad so they can control the situation.
What's sad too is, like, I mean, in my opinion, there's only so much you can do. Cause I mean, obviously therapists are going to tell you, like, you need to set boundaries, which everyone needs to, they need to set their own boundaries for themselves. They can't, I mean, you can't really say my boundary is you have to do this, you can't do that. But it's like, I just don't know, like, if there's really much you can do, because there's still going to be those people out there, like, just toxic, and that are going to take things and just manipulate them to. I'm sure Jonah Hill would be going to therapy for a good reason. Like, he's trying to help himself out, but unfortunately, in his own head, it's now using it for the wrong reason. So it's like, you can't force someone to go into therapy and use it for the right reason. So it's, I don't know. That's just so tough, because you can't really, because again, we can't control people. We can't control how they think, or we can't control how they use what their therapist says. I don't know if there's really much that we can do, except for, like, what Lydia said, you just have to look out for yourself. And in the end, just be like, look, if this person is trying to use that kind of stuff on me, I need to think of me first and I have to put myself first and not allow someone to walk all over me like that and dictate my life.
I wish he would use that line on me, because I would say, well, good, since we're talking about boundaries, you need to set boundaries on yourself. If something bothers you, don't look at it. If my Instagram bothers you, don't look at it. You need to figure out what are your triggers and set boundaries for that. Then when you fix yourself, come talk to me and we'll work on us. But Jonah Hill, call me.
I guess, right. And I guess that's what, because like me and Devin talk about how, here's the thing, there's not always great therapists out there. And that's the unfortunate part about it too. And I love that article, because I think you read it too, Dean. Like there was a chart that was presented in that article, and it talked about ways to explain the definition of boundaries. Because when you're giving this information to these clients, you know, they're going to take it a certain way, especially if they're that type of person. And you may not know. You may not know. So it's important to clarify, not to say the therapist didn't do that, but it's important to clarify those different what it means, because in it clarified what's positive way to use the setting the boundaries and the negative way. And I think one of the positive ways was saying, hey, you know, something about this does bother me, but I need to work on it myself. So what you were doing is you were acknowledging your trigger, like you were saying, Lydia, and then you were also saying that I need to put in the blame on yourself rather than the other person. Because when you're setting, because, and that's the funny thing, like when you think about boundaries, and when you're setting the boundaries of someone, the boundaries is the reason why you're setting it is because of for you. That means you are the problem, not someone else. You're setting the boundaries because of yourself, because the issues that you have, not because of someone else. And see, not a lot of people take it, like you said, and I don't know. And so that's why I also wonder if, you know, that is the case where they clarify these terms and stuff like that, because people use those terms. And I've seen it be used, and I'm like, no, that's wrong. Like, that is not what that's meant. And so it's just interesting. And I agree with you, Dominic. It's something that's very hard to, I like you said, control, because you're dealing with people who's gonna choose to do what they want to do. Unfortunately, well, go ahead. It's just interesting.
I do agree that I do think that if it comes down to, like, well, I, like I said, I've never heard of the story. I don't know who his ex is, but if there was ever a time where maybe, yes, she's a surfer, obviously she's going to have bikinis on. Now, if there's ever a time where maybe she was being a little bit more provocative with her photos or something like that, then it's like, okay, maybe you can talk to your partner then and be like, hey, it's a little too provocative, but there has to be a compromise. Like, you can't just say like, take it down, I don't like you in a bikini, like on Instagram, don't show your body, whatever. It's like, okay, that's too much. But if it's like, hey, these are just making me a little uncomfortable just because they're a little maybe too provocative, or maybe the positions you're in, I don't know if she was doing that, but just an example, then it's like, okay, I think that's an all right time to have a conversation with your partner. Because I mean, even like with Jesse, with me personally, like there's some triggers that I have that he's done, but it's like, I know that I can't stop him from sometimes doing these things. Sometimes it's just who he is. So it's like, we just have to talk it out. It's all about communication. I tell him, like, okay, like I'm feeling a little bit off by this or anything. And then we just make an adjustment. He doesn't need to fully change. I need to change, but let's just meet in the middle. Let's find a happy medium for this.
Exactly. I agree with that. And I think sometimes we forget, like you said, in the beginning, if you know someone is what they are, you know, then you have to, like, it's in the beginning. But when you're in a relationship, when your relationship has always already been established, and now you have these situations that do come up, like you said, where it may trigger you because you're just like, oh, well, this is new, because that happens in a relationship. And there's a better way to go about discussing that, because, you know, you can't just outright in, because I am with you where it's like, I don't, the whole situation is it's a little bit confusing, because I did read the text message, because there were some things where, you know, he would say a certain thing. I remember he said, I have a problem with you having your ass out in like a thong. And then in my head, I'm like, I haven't seen the picture, so I don't know if he's exaggerating because of the frustration. Yeah. But then mm-hmm. on the other hand, he degrades her as in say, I can't be with someone that's a model because of what he thinks of that job. And mm-hmm. And then in my head, I'm like, well, that's a hypocrite, because you do sex scenes as an actor mm-hmm. and you kiss people. And I'm like, as a model, the only thing you're doing is half clothes off, no clothes. Whereas then you could be an actor that just be having sex and taking clothes off. So I'm like, that part didn't make sense. And it became mm-hmm. like a whole thing of like, well, you don't know. Yeah. Right. And you just don't know. And then you're just reading these things and you just don't know if someone's exaggerating. But I think the biggest thing was more of like people using therapy words
mm-hmm.
for their benefit
mm-hmm.
to get what they want.
Yeah.
Manipulation. Yes.
Yes. To manipulate. That's a perfect word. Yes. Because they're insecure. And I think if you've ever grown up in a family where you didn't have a manipulative parent, it's hard to see that you're in a manipulative relationship. Mm-hmm. That's just my thought. Mm-hmm. Like, because I've had, you know, you kiss a lot of frogs before you meet a prince. And there's been relationships out there like, this person is trying to manipulate me or make me feel guilty. This is exactly what my father would do. Mm-hmm. So next.
But
I think people who are narcissists, I think he sounds like a narcissist because he can't empathize with her. And it sounds more like she's property than an equal.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are narcissists, they look for people who don't know how to call out manipulation, don't know how to call out a toxic person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You always see somebody and they're so nice. You're like, how does that nice person end up with that total a-hole? That's how. Because
that's how.
They don't see it because they've never experienced it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he gets his stuff figured out, because that's got to be a very terrible place, like, a terrible mindset to be in for himself, like, and whether he's a narcissist or he's just so self-conscious about himself. Because I know I've actually seen like videos about him talking about his weight, like especially being like in a movie, like movies with Channing Tatum and everything, and how he was always seen as like the comedy actor and not taken seriously, people making fun of his weight. I'm sure like that's probably just got to be a huge part of it too, is like he's been hurt so much about his weight and his appearance. I wonder if it's also just lashing out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when like you lash out to bring others down,
then
you are not acknowledging that other person as a human being.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he gets
it's
out of that.
It's dangerous. Yeah. Misery loves company.
Misery loves
company. Yeah.
Okay, so Lydia's going to cast an empathy spell.
An empathy spell. I don't know if it'll work. I mean,
I have a couple questions before we get out of here. What is the coolest thing you've seen an animal do?
I saw a rabbit fly over my house once.
Wait, what?
Oh my
God. A rabbit.
You can't just say that sentence and not explain.
I lived in Washington. When I was up in Washington, and I was cleaning out the chicken coop, and I saw a rabbit flying over my house, and he was sideways. He was flying sideways. And I said, look at that rabbit. Like an a-hole flying sideways. Like in my mind, I'm thinking he's just showing off. And then I realized he was being carried by a hawk.
Oh.
I had no empathy for him. God. I was just like, look at that rabbit just showing
look at
off.
That asshole.
Fucking dick. Yeah.
You think you're so big.
It's dying. Just fly.
It's actually, if you could read minds in that moment, that rabbit is asking you for help.
For help. It's crying for help.
Green. Oh,
that's
no.
Mind reading.
That's funny.
Cool.
Dominic rest in peace, dear rabbit. The coolest thing I've seen an animal do. I mean, I've seen like TikTok videos of dogs doing like crazy stuff. What's a good one? Jeremiah, go first because I got to think about this.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. A lot of TikTok videos of, I think them doing silly things, but I guess I'll go for like, so I have two cats. One is a kitten, though. I guess the cool thing is realizing that, so it's my first time having a kitten, and like, we have to keep him separate from the other cat's food because he has to eat kitten food, right? And vice versa. The older cats can't eat kitten food because it'll make them overweight.
Yeah.
And so we put it up high where we knew he couldn't get, right? And then he found a way to get it up to that point. So then we had to put it up higher. And we're like, all right, cool. He won't be able to get up here. It's a little shit. He was able to can jump that high. And I was like, I asked Devin, I was like, how did he get up there? And like, I don't think we knew how he did it. So I'm like, maybe he did it from like the chair. And so he haven't done it again, but I, in my head, I'm just like, and so now he sits there whenever he hears the foods. And I'm like, I'm just waiting to see him do it again. And I'm like, oh, please don't do it. So that's the coolest thing so far. Although it's annoying because he can't, shouldn't be able to get up there right now.
Yeah.
Well, like a Jurassic Park quote, life finds a way. Your cat will find a way.
Yeah.
I did think of something actually. My dog, we call him a tripod. He has three legs. He's missing the front right one. And I do actually remember one time. So what Jesse will do sometimes when me and him will get home, he'll put like his hand out, and Chico is his name. He'll like put his mouth around his hand and like walk with him on his hind legs. I do actually remember one time Jesse took his hand out and Chico continued to walk on his hind legs just following me and Jesse for a good like couple seconds. And I was like, oh my God. It was just cute. He's looking at me right now. He's laying down right here.
Yeah. A tiny human.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little spoiled brat. But I love him to death.
Yeah. I think the popped in my head was this bird video we watched where this bird trainer taught them how to like sing and do stuff and like put a basketball in a hoop. But then I jumped to like the shit they do with dolphins and orcas in the water parks where they abuse them to teach them stuff. And I go, oh, I really hope they didn't do that to the birds. So I'm hoping that. But if I was going to like do a pet to keep with the pets, one of our dogs, Hiccup, pooped perfectly on a flower once. And it just sat on the flower. The flower didn't, you know, bend over. So it's like a little turd sitting on the flower. Unfortunately, we did not take a picture. So it just sounds weird.
I mean,
that was just
an interesting thing to show people.
Yeah. Look at this poop flower.
It's so weightless. It's so light. It doesn't even.
He's just trying to keep his area smelling good.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He wanted the shit to smell like roses.
No.
What?
He wanted his shit to smell like roses.
That's all it is.
I don't know.
That's all it is.
Oh, it's poopery.
It's poopery.
Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
He needs royalties.
Dog's on to something here.
What qualities do most of your friends have in common? When you think of your friends, what do they have in common?
I have to think of a friend first.
Oh. Honesty. Oh my God.
Pick me, Lydia. Pick me.
Oh. I'm going to say good listening because I can really talk.
Cool. Nice. That's a good quality.
I would say honesty. Honestly, there's times where I've had friends say things where I'm like, wow, I'm really surprised you would say that. You don't think friends will say certain things because they'll just keep that kind of like, I'm not going to say that, you know, but honesty.
I call that verbal diarrhea.
Oh,
yes.
Anything I think just pours out of my mouth.
I enjoy it.
I would say, I don't know what you would call this, but the ability to like be like a lot of my friends, like we have just, we're all like little kids at heart. We're able to just have fun, like just be dumb, say dumb shit, whatever. and just like totally be okay with it, but we can also bounce back to serious stuff too with each other. So I don't know what you would call that, but I would just say, yeah, like being a child at heart. That's a lot of what my friends have. We're all children at heart, and
yeah,
we are openly expressive about it.
Aww.
That's great.
I like that.
Daddy issues. Okay, so the next one is.
Oh, let's not get into that.
No,
I do not have daddy issues.
Let's talk about it.
Let's not talk about it, but let's talk about it. No, for a while in my fraternity, because that's kind of who I'm really close with. A lot of my brothers, we did find in common that we had really bad relationships or no relationships with our dads for the most part. Then Jeremiah joined and he loves his dad. And I was like, what's that? What's that like? Aww. And so I can't really say that. So I would say a sense of humor. I feel like my friends love to laugh and joke, and I love to try to make people laugh. That draws me. And if I can tell someone doesn't have a sense of humor, or maybe my humor is just going over their head, then I think I just naturally distance myself. Like I maybe don't put as much effort into that relationship. So I would say sense of humor is a big thing. Last question.
You're definitely very funny, Michael. You are very funny.
Funny looking. Okay, very good. So what is the question? Oh, the last question, and we could all go on with our day and look for Band-Aids in our beer bottles. If you had a scanner, and this sort of goes with the mind reading that Jeremiah brought up earlier, if you had a scanner that showed three stats about a person when you looked at them and it popped up, what three stats would you want them to show? So it could read
three stats about them?
Yeah.
How many people they've killed?
Ooh.
Body count. Yeah, that's a good one.
Top of my list. That's
it's
top
over
my list.
Zero? No.
Level of malice. That would be good. I'm trying to think of how do I pose this? Level of cleanliness?
That would, yeah.
Okay, I see what you
mean. Like personal hygiene? Or?
Oh, yeah. This. That's also like, different. Personal hygiene
I
or
sat
like
next
environment?
To someone once, yeah. And there were lice on my shoulder.
Oh no.
But if I could like boop 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 scan you and say, okay, that person's got lice, boop boop boop, scabies, boop boop boop, clean, I'll go sit next to them. Like that would be such a time saver.
Yeah.
Then I don't have to, you know, go get the Rid. Is it called Rid lice shampoo and medicated ointment?
Oh
no.
No
more getting ringworm for this gal.
Yeah. God, those are some good ones.
Once I got ringworm and I thought I was turning into a zombie because my skin was like sloughing off and I had to like glue it back on with some nail polish. The end.
I've got ringworm too before. It's not
I rescued some kittens off the street and they had ringworm all over their body and I took them to the vet, but then I ended up getting ringworm on my elbows, my knees, my back.
And so
I
you put nail polish?
Like I didn't have any glue and I was in China and I couldn't figure out like how to keep my skin on. And so then I just thought, maybe this is how zombieism starts. Like your skin just starts sliding off and rotting. It was ringworm.
Okay.
I did about that though.
Yeah. Why malice?
If you know somebody's level of malice, I mean, then you don't end up as the next murder victim for starters.
Stay on their good side.
Victim just in general.
Yeah,
you don't get to be victimized in general. You don't end up dating Jonah.
Damn.
Nobody spits in your food because you can see the server like, oh, no level of malice here. I know this food's going to be clean.
I think I need to look up malice and what that means. Oh, okay.
Oh,
intention to do
like
evil.
I intend to harm you.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, malice of intent is I'm planning to harm you in advance.
I see. Okay.
If I accidentally kill you, it's not malicious. It was an accident. But if I kill you maliciously, oh, I planned it. I would like to know that level.
Yeah. Now, what if, I think the keyword is like the intent or like the time or whatever. There's some days with the kids, the students, I imagine picking them up and throwing them into the sun. Like, does that count as, that's not malice, right? Like, because that was in the moment.
That's malice.
That's not malice.
That's a level. That's a level on a scale of 1 to 10. Like, maybe you're at a 4.
Okay. Okay, cool. Perfect.
To a 4, to a 6.
Oh, my God.
To the sun.
Into the sun.
When you get into 7, then we have to start flagging you.
Okay. Like, I want to control time, go back to before they were conceived and, like, stop the parents. And just, like, so they never show up at my school.
Show them a video.
What is, like that's a 7? Okay. Okay, that makes sense then with malice. All right.
just go back in time, open their door, yeah. Just be like, put this on.
Put this on.
Thank me later.
Condoms. Or just interrupt. Just, yeah. Something.
Just make them stop completely.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Sir, come with me.
That could have 2 meanings. Okay, so.
Oh, well, yeah.
What just happened? What happened? What happened? This is a family show. No, it's not. Dominic, Jeremiah, do you have, I could try to go, I guess, if you need more time.
Do you want to go? Do you know 3 Jeremiah? Or...
No, I don't have all 3.
I would say level of communication, like how well they can communicate, because I'm very much someone that is, I'm blunt. Like, I try and be respectful. I never try and be like that kind of person that's blunt where they just want to be an asshole. I really like to communicate. I like to express my feelings, how what I think of things, like in terms of like with my partner. And I like that back because it's like, I think communication is everything. So their level of how well they can communicate, their level of understand, like how well they can understand things, understand me, because I try and understand people from their point of view as well. Because kind of like what Lydia said earlier in this podcast, we're all human. And I saw this quote actually on TikTok, or was it? It was on some sort of social media. All of us, I'm trying to understand people from where they're at, because all of us are going through this life one time. We're all here for the first time going mm-hmm. through life.
Yeah.
So it's like, if someone can try and understand me and the stuff that I've gone through, if we're getting to that level, I will try and put that understanding back on them. So then it's like, we just kind of get along better. We understand mm-hmm. each other. And then also the level of how well they can, kind of, like I said, all my friends, we have that child at heart kind of personality, like how well they can do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cause again, life can be very serious. Obviously we all go through, we all have our own shit that we go through, and it can bring us down. But I think we also need people around us that can just have fun, like bring out that inner child that we had a long time ago, imagination, just laughing, saying dumb stuff. Like, I feel like that's like the perfect time as being a kid, is because you're just free. You get mm-hmm. to just express yourself. And I feel as you become an adult, a lot of people try and take that away from you and say, no, there's no longer time for that. We're adults now. You got to be serious. You got to do this. And I'm like, that's just not, it doesn't make life meaningful to me. Like, I need to be able to like just imagine, have fun, like live from the heart kind of thing. So those are my 3, I would say.
Cool.
Nice. One, I guess, would be honesty. If they're being honest, I feel like, and what I mean by honesty, here's the thing. We all lie. It's a given thing. We all do that. But there are some people that are huge liars. And so I think sometimes it's best if you just know if they are, you know, because then you wonder, like, is your whole life a lie? Like, then what's the point? The other thing is, it would go with, how can I put it? I want to say, like, interests. So I guess, like, if I'm scanning someone and, you know, and we're like getting to know each other as friends, is your interest of getting to know me is a friendship, or is it in a sense of, do you want to misuse you know, I guess the
knowing
if their intentions at heart. And then my last one would be, they do a sense of humor, just knowing if they have some kind of humor that would click with mine. I think that's important, because usually if it doesn't, then it's just, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know how to talk to other humans who don't have a sense of humor. I struggle. I'm like, do you like colors? I guess. Like, I don't know. What are we supposed to talk about? Like, I don't know if I can't throw a joke.
Food?
Yeah. You have no space. Like, my brain starts haywiring. There's a lot of good choices. I think top 10, I don't know if this would be count as two stats or if I could lump it into one, but top 10 movies, I think what people say is their top 10 movies kind of says a lot about them. I think if I can lump it together, even top 10 shows, because I know some people watch more movies, but not that many shows, or maybe watch a lot of shows, but not that many movies. So either one. I think this kind of popped up when Trump was president, but I think I'd like to know how many people of color and LGBTQ people someone knows. Because if you have zero friends or just like you have no exposure to other people from other walks of life, I think that would really tell me a lot that you don't have a diverse group of people in your life. Sure, I guess you could argue like, well, maybe they came from a small town or is very one group of people. Sure. Okay, fine. But I think that'd be interesting to know.
I like the diversity thing that you're talking about, because just not in a sense of, like you said, just color, but diversity with anything. You have people that have different thoughts than you, because if you're someone that just hangs out with just a certain, that thinks like you, then you have no diverse thinking.
Right. And that
you don't have any perspectives, other perspectives.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think I would like to know that ahead of time, besides being blindsided of like, so you don't know anyone who's LGBTQ. That's why you're making these comments. Like I would already know that.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And I could talk to them versus, you know, they catch me off guard with some comment. I go, wait, what? What the fuck just happened? What? Like, what just happened?
So knowing their background and their experience. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was thinking like Hutterites, Amish, Mennonites, how they're, you know, on a commune and they're not exposed to things. I'm like, well, there's so many things you could learn from them. But okay. Yes. Yeah. When you make comments about something that you have no experience with. I find flaw with that.
And I try to think of a third. And I think I'm struggling. I think the humor one, but I feel like I kind of gauge people when I meet them and I kind of throw a couple jokes. And if it's not catching, then I go, okay, well, this one's out. Let me go talk to somebody else. So I feel like I already kind of have my brain as a scanner for that. I think, how open they are to being intimate. And I don't mean like, I don't mean sexually, but like conversation. I don't want to reveal stuff to somebody because I sort of misread the conversation and they're like, this is too much information. Why are we talking about your parents and like the abuse? And I go, oh, fuck. Like, why did I do that? So I think the willingness of being vulnerable, I think that'd be really telling when I meet someone, I go, okay, we can only talk about the UFC with this person. Like, or we can only talk about Marvel movies. Okay, cool. But if it's like, oh, okay, these people are emotional intelligence, I guess is what I would label it. They're open and willing to have those conversations. I think those would be my three. Fourth one would be, how many Oreos can they eat in one sitting? I think that determines a lot.
Don't we all just eat the entire packet? Like, isn't that a normal thing?
Thank you. You passed your audition. You finally, with 2 minutes to go, you passed your audition. I was like, it's looking rough.
I'd like to thank my mom. I'd like to thank my dad.
I was going to talk to Lydia. I was going to talk to Lydia and Jeremiah after this, and we were going to vote on it. I think you pass off of just that. I thought we did just eat it in one sitting. My wife disagrees. She takes 3 weeks. It should not take 3 weeks to eat one pack of Oreos. After, I think, a few
Devin
days, she's
may
like,
eat it with you in one sitting.
Perfect. Devin, Dominic, you can come over. Lydia, I don't know where you stand on this.
I like to take the insides and stack them up so you get like a quadruple stuffed Oreo or like, yeah. And then like slide it back in there. Slide it back in the pack and then act like I don't know.
Perfect.
Oh, that's so good. I should text Jesse to get some now from the store. Great. He's not here.
That's great. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be Oreo. It could be whatever cookie or food. But I don't think it should take 3 weeks to finish off a pack of whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, I appreciate y'all's time. This was a lot of fun. This always gets me in a good mood. So I really appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Hey.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a great rest of your weekend.
All right. Nobody talked about my ringworm. Thank you.
I am telling the story to everybody.
I have to tell everybody.
It's the highlight of the story.
I have to stock up on nail polish.
Lydia, you heard what I did as my horrible thing for the week. So, I don't know about your ringworm.
Yeah.
You know something, Lydia? When you said it came from two stray cats, I was like, oh my God, my kitten was a stray.
Yeah, I ringworm from kissing a dog that I adopted. I kissed him on his head, and he had like this bald spot that just kept growing and growing. And I thought, I'd never had a puppy before, so I thought, oh, maybe all dogs lose their baby fur and get grown up fur. And I took him to the vet, and he's like, we don't know what this is. And I said, oh, so I probably shouldn't kiss it. And the vet like turned like pale. He was like, what? And I was just like, okay, well, I'm gonna go pay the bill now.
Oh no.
And then go to the hospital.
It's a learning experience.
Oh my God. And then when you walked out of the hospital, you saw another rabbit flying through the air.
A-hole rabbit.
With no hawk.
No hawk this time. It's just haunting you. It's just a rabbit at this point. Oh no. Have a good rest of your weekend, y'all.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. If I'm holding Jeremiah's hand and we go somewhere and he's naked, but I'm not.